heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. Soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Big news here that happened on late Sunday, and that is the Food and Drug Administration announced that it had authorized the use of blood plasma from patients who have recovered from COVID-19 as a treatment for the disease. Now, I know you've seen that. I know you know that. But here's the thing. A lot of people started messaging, and I seen quite a few messages, and I had actually some come into me asking me, what does all that mean? Convalescent plasma. What does that really mean? And people don't really know in layman's terms what that means or how it impacts their life. And so the hope, as I understand it, and we'll get real answers on this in a moment from Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, who is very informed and on the front lines of this story for sure. She's been, as far as I can see, one of the heroes trying to push this through. And there are people on the national level trying to do that, working overtime, trying to get this thing handled. On the this gets into the HCQ side now. I'm talking about the hydroxychloroquine and that whole conversation. But this gets, just follow me now, this gets really fascinating. So the hope is that the infusions, as I understand it now, of the antibody, rich plasma, from those who have recovered from COVID-19 can be injected into ill patients. That's really all essentially is what it is. Which is why the president says, listen, we need those who have recovered to go in and give that plasma, please, so we can, you know, do this and fight the virus effectively and save lives. That's interesting. So one of the messages I seen was from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, the AAPS, and it said this. HHS at Secretary Azar touts 35% mortality reduction for convalescent plasma. That is wonderful news, but meanwhile, a number of studies have shown more like 50% reduction for HCQ given early. Give outpatient, hashtag HCQ, and EUA2 at real Donald Trump. Now, to give this story its real muscle, here's what's interesting. So I had received messages early that day from people, a series of them actually, telling me that the president was going to have this major announcement Sunday evening, telling me that it would probably be to make HCQ OTC, over-the-counter. People were actually pretty juiced about it, and I've seen a whole series of reports, and like I said, several were sent to me here. That's the only reason I know. And people were thinking that was the announcement the president was going to make. So for a moment, there was this excitement like, wow. And for me as well, I thought, oh, we finally got there. We did it. Something happened, you know, without knowing the facts now, of course. And you always have to follow the facts and the data on these things, as you know. And so I thought, okay, maybe we're somewhere. You know, this is great news. You feel like there's victory at the end is what I'm suggesting to you, you know, as you go through the battles, right? So when the conference happened and all that happened with the president, it was very clear on that particular evening that that was not to be the case. And then many people were left with a puzzle like, well, what happened? And why is the president not understanding this? I see MDs, experts, major people who know this, who know everything about this. We're saying, Mr. President, what is going on? Why can't you read our message? Why can't you read our tweets? Why can't you see what's happening here, Mr. President? And I thought, something isn't right again for the umpteenth time, but really now, because things are now getting to a point, people. You can't hide success for the long term. You can try to do some fancy footwork, but it's very short. The truth has to prevail. My fellow Americans, the truth must prevail. Always remember that, please. Okay. And so here's where the interesting twist now gets really fascinating. So late that evening, on Sunday evening, the president tweeted out, and I didn't see this till the following day, which is fine. I don't monitor these things moment by moment. But he retweeted Mark Levin's show out to that. Now, that wouldn't be highly unusual, except it was, because it was a Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale. And this is what the president said in the tweet. Please watch highly respected Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale on hydroxychloroquine. And then the quote from the doctor says, the evidence is overwhelming. There is no question that the people who need to be treated and are treated early, it has a very substantial benefit in reducing risk of hospitalization and mortality. And there has been a massive misinformation campaign that stretches from government to media that is either suppressing this message or it's countering it with a false message. This is really what Dr. Harvey Risch had said on the show. Now, this is because I went back and listened and watched all the videos. This wasn't in the tweet, by the way. The president referenced people to watch this and put the video there. But this is what was said in the video. You follow me now, right? And there's been a massive misinformation campaign that stretches from government to media that is either suppressing this message or it's countering it with a false message. Listen, he says, I'm not an expert in why that is happening. I mean, he's very, very soft-spoken, I like that about people like that. You know, you kind of, what do they say, speak softly but carry a big stick? This is kind of one of those moments, you know? He said, I am an expert in the science, and I will tell you the science is all one-sided. In fact, the science is so one-sided in supporting this result that it's stronger than anything else I've ever studied in my entire career. Wow. That about knocked me on the floor. Now, I wrote all that down. I listened to his words. This was out of his mouth because I heard him say it on that program from that video, and I wrote it all down with a pen and paper so I could share it with you today to make sure you know this, you see? And that's what he said. But for him to say, for this guy that is as expert as he is, and just with everything that we see about him, for him to say this, and listen to these words, you know what I mean? Come on. The science is all one-sided. He didn't say it's a close call. It's maybe there. Maybe we should glance at. I mean, he didn't say that. Now, this is a message that Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet has been telling you all for some time. I mean, it's like she's about yelling her head off in there, trying to get the country to see. I mean, she wants to save lives. She's, you know, screaming at the top of it as loud as she can, using a megaphone. I know because she's on our platform and she's, you know, hey, what do we got to do to get this resolved here, people, you know? But really, what's really interesting to me is that the president sends this out after the fact, after the press conference, which sort of begin to give you a renewed faith or confidence that the president is aware, more than we realized, that there is funny business going on. Big time funny business. So, Dr. Risch, he said, somehow we've let politics override science. Listen to those words. Somehow. That's a big word, isn't it? Somehow. We've let politics override the science. Wow. Risch talks about how angry media people get. He talks about the media is their challenge in closing all the dikes on the success of HCQ and the fact that when he is on a lot of the other channels, they cut him off. They get very nasty. It was a hell of an interchange, actually, from Mark Levine, who I have gotten more and more respect for as I've seen him move forward. And so it is quite fascinating. This is what I want to do today. Now, you'll hear from one of the, I believe, one of the best expert voices, but also somebody who puts it forward in a way that I think is premium, because Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet is the real deal. I mean, she speaks truth. I mean, she understands. She's a Christian woman. She understands the value of a life. She's dedicated her whole life to that. And she is somebody on the front lines really trying to get the attention of the American people for all the right reasons. So we're going to pause a moment here. We'll be back with Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet, and we're going to peel this thing now. Have a whole lot here for you to discuss this really major breaking piece of information. More Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, one of the slides I seen in the video that the president sent out, by the way, and that the gentleman I was just telling you about, Dr. Harvey Risch of Yale here, is that was from Real Clear Politics. Let me read you this, and it says this, and I quote here now. There are now 53 studies that show positive results of HCQ in COVID infections. There are 14 global studies that show neutral or negative results. 10 of them were patients in very late stages of COVID-19, where no antiviral drug can be expected to have much effect. Of the remaining four studies, well, two come from the same University of Minnesota author. The other two are from the faulty Brazil paper, which should be retracted, in the fake Lancet paper, which was interesting. Lot to this story. Now, here is Dr. Elizabeth Lievliet. She's an independent physician, again, specializing in preventive medicine. You hear that, in climacteric medicine. And she has been one of the passionate and loudest voices on this topic, to really get folks to wake up, because she sees what's happening. And there were days where I've talked to her often on air, and she's puzzled as to why we can't get the results. And I think the common denominator, she and I believe, is that evil forces are probably in play here, as many of you out there would probably agree with us. All right, so Dr. Vliet, let's start there and say there's two big storylines I want to follow with you here. And I want to educate folks here today in a way we haven't done before, because we have a lot of information on our fingertips right now. And first of all, the convalescent plasma, we'll get into that in a moment here. But this story from Dr. Harvey Risch, with the tweet out from the president on Sunday evening, was quite remarkable. With all this information, it's a real eye-opener, is it not?
Well, It may be to the public, to those of us that have been working on this since early March to try and get hydroxychloroquine available for early treatment in the outpatient setting, with primary care doctors serving their patient, doing our job, saving lives, using our best medical judgment. It's not new information at all. We have been running up against the stonewall of the FDA, the misrepresentation of harm. And in fact, the FDA has contradicted itself on its own website when the FDA says in one box there is harm using hydroxychloroquine outpatient for COVID, but not, of course, for rheumatoid, lupus, and malaria. Those outpatients don't have harm, but COVID patients do, which itself doesn't make sense. It's not, I mean, common sense. Your listeners who don't have a medical degree, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that doesn't make sense. And above that, the FDA talks about the fact that all of its data comes from hospitalized patients. Well, they know that the hospitalized patients are critically ill. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Hahn, know that this virus causes exaggerated inflammatory damage that leads to the cytokine storm. And even in people who don't ever get hydroxychloroquine, the cytokine storm, the inflammatory damage, damages the heart, lungs, kidneys, brain, intestines, causes blood clotting. And that occurs, the heart damage and arrhythmias occur in hospitalized patients from the viral illness causing the inflammatory damage in people who didn't get hydroxychloroquine. They know they're blaming it incorrectly on hydroxychloroquine. They know the studies, they know the flaws in the studies, and yet the studies are being given to the media as if they are gospel truth. You cannot extrapolate. This is what Dr. Harvey Risch has said. It's what hundreds of other physicians have said across the country. Most of us treating patients every day are aware of this problem. You have to treat viral illnesses early. All viral illnesses respond better if you treat early, whether it's herpes or shingles or the flu or COVID-19. They all work better in treatment with the medications we have if you start within the first 2 or 3 days of symptoms. COVID is no different from that. Mm-hmm. If you wait until people are critically ill in the hospital, there are always more complications and none of the antiviral drugs work as well. So not only do the doctors at NIH and CDC and the FDA know that from medicine in general, the studies have shown that in COVID-19 specifically, so that the critical illness stage of COVID-19 with the inflammatory damage is a very different illness from the early stage symptoms of body aches, low-grade fever, cough, and fatigue. If you treat early, we have Dr. Zelenko's study and other studies around the world that have shown anywhere from 80 to 85% reduction in hospitalizations and deaths. So those data are consistent from one country to another, in the US, abroad, in multiple ethnic groups, multiple ages of patients. If you wait until people are critically ill in the hospital, none of the drugs work as well. And what is really alarming is that at the beginning of this, back in February, Secretary Azar, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and President Trump directed that the national stockpile be built up with donations from pharmaceutical companies. That was done. We had over 60 million doses of hydroxychloroquine available very quickly. And then Secretary Azar directed the FDA to make it, to expand access to it to doctors across the country, pharmacies, doctors, hospitals, outpatient clinics, all of that. But then in March, the FDA, acting in contrary to the president and the Secretary of Health and Human Services directions, Rick Bright issued an emergency use authorization, but restricted hydroxychloroquine to only hospitalized patients when they know it doesn't work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what happened from that, Malcolm, mm-hmm. that your listeners need to understand is two things. Number one, the FDA was only collecting data on hospitalized patients because their own restriction required it to be used in hospitals.
Wow.
Your listeners
wow.
need to understand that.
Wow.
They
wow.
knew they were only getting hospitalized patient data.
Well, let me say to you this, Dr. Lee. So not only did, listen, here's what I get out of all of that. Not only was the data manipulated, okay, and it really was, but they set it up to fail. The entire it's a complete spectacle. I mean, this has been set up to fail. Am I misstating anything there?
Well, I think that's a good interpretation of the actions, because the actions of Rick Bright clearly went against what he was directed to do. And it took us a while. That was issued March 28th. And by the first few days of April, I remember sitting there and looking at that emergency use authorization. And I called the business manager for AAPS. And I said, Jeremy, have you seen what they've done? They've restricted it to hospitalized patients.
Yeah.
And we started working at that point immediately to get the word out that this restriction needed to be lifted. And literally, it was only about 5 days later, my first editorial had come out the end of March about this. Mm-hmm. And a few days after that, Senator Johnson picked up the phone and called me. And he said, what's going on? Why are we not able to distribute? We've got 63 million doses in the national stockpile, and it's not being distributed. Tell me what's happening. Hmm. So I told him what had gone on with the emergency use authorization being restricted to hospitalized patients, and it wasn't getting to the doctors in the field who needed it for early treatment. And literally, he has been working nonstop trying to break through the FDA stonewalling. And I've been giving him data to work with. Other doctors have been doing that. He's talked with Dr. Risch. He's talked with Dr. Zelenko. He's talked with Dr. Stephen Smith. He's talked with many of the doctors in the field who've been speaking out on this. Our medical organization, we collected a petition and sent it to the president on April 10th. I mean, this is like 12 days after emergency use was restricting it to hospitalized use. And we asked the president to issue an executive order. We had 1,300 physicians sign it in 48 hours.
Well, there's been a whole, I know, I've been with you all the way through this. And I think listeners need to understand what Dr. Vliet is saying is that what they're, I mean, really pulling every lever that you possibly can. And we're actually working on the front lines with Senator Ron Johnson and working with others in the political field to try to get people to pay attention. Which is why when all this news happened on Sunday, you know, really just before the convention and all, it to me was a major moment. All of us, I don't know, something happened in my mind, Dr. Vliet, truthfully, as I see all the pieces now from Sunday into as we now get into a very busy political and news week. I don't know. I have it, and we'll come back to this point in a moment. But for whatever reason, I have a bit of a renewed faith in me. And I can't tell you exactly why, but I just have a sense now that this information now is not going to be held back. Now, this is just me talking. Nobody has told me this, and I haven't read it anywhere. But I have this feeling that you're not going to be able to hold this back any further. Now, just as I've done the math here, we're looking at all these pieces and the president's tweet that evening. Do you agree with anything I say there or not?
Well, I think we are bringing major pressure to bear with all of the media efforts, platforms like yours that are taking the time to educate people. And that's why I wanted your listeners again to hear the context that this fight to save lives and break through the obvious suppression of positive news. I'm reiterating the importance of what Dr. Risch said last night. Mm-hmm. He is saying what many of us have been saying for several months, that positive news is being suppressed, flawed studies are being promoted in the media, the FDA is stonewalling every effort to expand access. Senator Johnson has met with Dr. Hahn. Senator Johnson has met with Mark Meadows and Peter Navarro and the president. There may be a shift finally coming with the lawsuits and all of the pressure being brought to bear. And we pray for that because we are losing roughly 1,000 Americans every day that this medicine is not freed up for doctors to be doctors and make their decisions to treat early COVID.
You know, this has been on my mind and my heart, Dr. Vliet, seriously, when you said we're losing 1,000 patients a day. And I'm saying to myself internally, my internal voice, my inside voice, Dr. Vliet, is saying to me, and has been saying, but even in the last day or so, like, okay, how many people have really, I mean, sincerely now, I would say this is what I want listeners to think about, is think about how many people have died, how many people have lost their life completely unnecessarily. And just put that on the side a moment. We're not going to answer that right now, but just think about that, my fellow Americans. Think about that, please, okay? And then I want you to think about what Dr. Lee just talks about with the suppression of the media. You hear Dr. Harvey Risch, you hear President Trump, you hear all the pieces coming together of this thing. And then you begin to see the things we've been talking about and touting here, that this thing smells like a dead rat somewhere. Something's wrong here, okay? And we've been saying that on the front lines to folks to really, truly understand. But when you think about this, from a human standpoint, I'm saying now, I want to tell you right now, I've got people I know in my life who have lost loved ones, as you may have yourself, but I've got people on our network even who've lost their fathers and their sisters and their mothers, and people who, for different reasons, for this COVID business, and you just have to begin to wonder, and you have to be concerned with, okay, so how many people could we really have saved had they done the right thing? And then what I think next is, why would they do the wrong thing? And I think about it in those terms. Think about this. Why would they do the wrong thing? And when you think about that, my fellow Americans, really and truly, and you understand what we're talking about here, you have to understand when we all value, you know, life and death, how fragile life is and how precious it is, and to realize what the evil powers are up against. And you begin to think and you say, how could anybody, I mean, seriously speaking, how could anybody sleep with themselves? How could anybody be in their right mind and conscience, put their head on a pillow? And I mean, anybody. How could they do that in good consciousness, knowing all of this? And then you begin to wonder and you say, wow. And what are the stakes again, Malcolm? Would you remind me, please? I forgot. What are the stakes again, please? Oh, yeah, well, I'll remind you a little bit later in the program, people, to get sidetracked here. But it really rips me up. It pulls my heart out. I want you to know that right now. And it really is a struggle for us that are of the good camp, who value every life and the preciousness of all of it. Let's put all that aside. I had to get that out because it was burning a hole in me to share that with you. And here's what I want to do. I want to come back to Han, Czar, the FDA, all of that political. Now, I just want to put it on the side a moment, because I want to use this as a really a teachable segment here with all of us as well. And here's what I'd like to do, Dr. Vliet, next is this. There's another piece to this now that I do want to inform people with, keeping on the medical side of it before we get to the other side of it. Because the other side is, like I said, a very evil side that we just touched on, and that I tried to bring some light to and still be civilized while I'm doing it, you understand? And because of my passion and being an out loud kind of guy and not liking injustice, when our goal is to put justice where injustice is, our goal is to right the wrong. And that's what our goal is here. The Voice of a Nation, my program, what I do is to fight the good fight in the fight of good and evil. That is who I am. That's what I breathe for. It's my point of being. It's why God has me on this planet, for that singular reason alone. Having said all of that, I want to talk to you next about this other side of the story, please, which, you know, and how we educate people, very simple, about the convalescent plasma, please, which was the big news that they touted on that particular evening of the conference that the president had on the Sunday evening there. And it was for the 35% mortality reduction. Talk to us about, let's tell people, how important was this? Now, I'm not trying to compare this to HCQ at the moment. I'm trying to get this to stand on its own. Is this a factor? Is it beneficial? What are your feelings on this, please?
Well, I think the convalescent plasma clearly has benefited about a third of the patients that get it. That's better than nothing. Convalescent plasma has to be administered IV intravenously. It has generally been used in the hospital. It's complicated to set up at home, and it's expensive. So it is one of the therapeutic modalities, but does it really solve the problem? No, because as Dr. Peter McCullough, cardiologist at Baylor and the editor of the Cardiorenal Journal, published over 500 studies, and just an amazing, knowledgeable cardiologist, epidemiologist, internal medicine doctor, who talks about the cardiac safety of HCQ, for example, but he talks about the fact that our whole model of treatment has been wrong. We have focused only on late stage illness, hospitalized patients. That's the wrong model. Dr. McCullough talks a lot about the importance of the fact that we need to shift our model to home-based treatment early and use all of the modalities that we have at hand. We have several medications that can be used. We have hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, or doxycycline, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D that are actually used as therapies. And we have ivermectin, which has been used successfully in multiple countries, particularly in South America. And it's approved here as well as a anti-parasite drug. So we have medicines we can use early. Yeah. We have the supportive oxygen. We have steroid inhalers. All of these are approved medication options. And his point is that instead of the failed Fauci-Hahn strategy, which is my words, not his, but instead of that failed strategy of people going to the ER when they have symptoms and being told, go home and wait to get worse. And if you get worse, then go in the hospital. That is so flawed and so dangerous and has cost so many lives that we need to have a rapidly disseminated at-home protocol for primary care doctors so that if somebody goes to the ER, they get a sheet that says you and your primary care doctor get started on these approaches right away at home. And we could end this very quickly with early treatment at home using all the approaches that all of the primary frontline doctors have been talking about since March. All of these combined approaches, Dr. McCullough is a very strong voice. And the reason he's such a powerful voice as a frontline physician treating patients, he's in the hospital at Baylor, but nevertheless, he is treating patients every day. Yeah. And the reason that his voice is so strong is that as a hospitalized specialist, hospitalized patients, somebody who works in the hospital, he has done studies to show what we can do to prevent people having to get to the hospital. And this outpatient model of treatment is what he thinks is important, what the frontline primary care doctors think is important, and what is saving lives in all the countries around the world that don't have our fancy hospitals and our sophisticated ICUs and our supply of ventilators and our level of care with doctors and nurses that adequately staff our hospitals. Most countries with fewer resources don't have those luxuries. And so they had to come up with ways to treat this pandemic early with people at home using medicines already approved, already known to be safe, and get it under control quickly. And that's exactly what most of the countries in the world have done. I put out a data chart in one of my editorials just recently that compared 90 countries, and the worst 9 countries were the sophisticated United States, UK, and Western European countries that were all using the late stage hospitalized patient model. And all of the successful countries with 1/10 the death rate, and some of them had death rates that were 15 and 20 times lower than the United States. All of them were using the outpatient treatment model that Dr. McCullough and others have talked about.
You know, you explain it so well there. You explain it so well. And, you know, I have such a better understanding of all of this right now, as I hope you do out there. Now, Dr. McCullough, who Dr. Veach is speaking about there, in fact, I spoke to Dr. McCullough on a Viewpoint this Sunday, as you may recall, listeners, if you were in on that program. It was the entire show was a big conversation, but Viewpoint it's an amazing show for us because of the audience that tunes in there Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And there was some good information from Dr. McCullough, but I even understand the argument in the fight more now. And he had suggested, and we had talked after the program, and I said I would definitely want to have him back on. And there are so many questions now I have for him, understanding the real value of him, as Dr. Vliet explains, as a cardiologist, and who he is as a person that understands with, because the real fault of this, they're saying, is the heart. You keep hearing the heart, you know, but all of this information is out of context, clearly. It was set to fail. They set this up to fail is what they did, which is absolutely beyond reason. And it just tells us how the powers to be of what people call and what we refer to here as, you know, the establishment or the deep state or the bureaucracy. I hate to use certain words. You understand the politicizing of all of this, you know. But what I'm saying is, whatever it is, there are forces, let's use the word forces, that are in play that clearly have another agenda. And clearly, they seem to be okay with the loss of life. I can't explain that to you any other way. I mean, I really can't. And I have to say what I believe has got to be factual and true because of the way the data has been manipulated, number one, and the way that has been set up to fail at the highest levels of the FDA and the highest levels of government, knowing full well what they know. It is a crime. It is evil. It is a price to pay when they get to their pearly gates and have to respond. It is remarkable to me to keep it as simple as I can. And, you know, we'll get into a lot more ahead of Dr. McCullough, and we'll get into that whole piece of it in even more details at another time here, because this story is not going away. This was the biggest, fastest, quickest, more, you know, this was the path forward to solving some of the problems and it's nothing is 100%, people, you know that, but this was the best path forward to saving lives, to getting over the hurdle, to opening up our nation back up, to moving the ball forward, to being a forward thinking prosperous nation again, you know, that we've been hit so hard. We've been sucker punched twice in the face and the gut with the civil unrest and the decline of our cities and with this pandemic. It really is a sucker punch totally to the face and the gut for America. And here we are, those of us who passionately care and love life and are trying to get up over the other hurdle, doing everything we can to open up the conversation again, open up the windows, the blinds, and just respect life again. And here we are wondering on all that. So it's amazing. And, you know, the other thing is, the other takeaway with Dr. Vliet is she says, well, listen, you take a look at, you know, anything's better than nothing. Sure. The convalescent plasma, sure. A third, 35%, sure. And Azar says, well, okay, so we always live for this kind of thing. Well, yeah, but if he's living for that you got to be, and with all the complications of what Dr. Vliet says, but you got to be on an IV, you got to be kind of in a hospital. It's not convenient. It's very expensive. I mean, she just laid it out play by play. And when you say all of that, and then, you know, well, if this, he says that that's what they live for. This was now Secretary Azar says that. Said, oh, my God, this is like crazy news, like this whole convalescent plasma thing. I mean, he was crazy about it, really. And I understand, okay, great, super. You know, we're not arguing that. But what's it going to be when he really, the truth is out on this? He's going to be cocoa for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, the man is going to be, it'd be bouncing all over the place. You won't be able to stop him. I mean, come on, people. Wake up, will you? Somebody wake up, for heaven's sakes. Anyways, I get on my soapbox here. You know, it just really is unbelievable. We'll pause a moment here. We'll continue on. Dr. Elizabeth Lee-Vliet, be back with me in just a moment here. And we'll continue on. And now we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty as to what is really going on. But you have the case now. I think we've laid out a compelling case here as to what's going on. Your suspicion antenna should be in full alert right about now. More Voice of a Nation after this pause. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Join you back here on The Voice of a Nation. We have Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet with us. And, you know, I was really passionately looking forward to having her with me today. She's always a great source of information and a one of the most passionate people I've really known and got to know her well as a friend, as well as really just an amazing expert and somebody who speaks such truth with having the right information and the data and the experience. And so it's a pleasure and an honor always to have her on here and to have her be able to get into the nitty gritty and give her the room to maneuver. I always try to do that with our guests on every level, but people, is give them the room to get the story out there, not, you know, cut them off and get crazy here. But here's the one thing, concern or point, Dr. Vliet, I have that I want to talk to you about, and then let's get into some of the other politics behind this and the money and the politics, really. But before we do that, there is one point I want to bring up that I did pick up on that I'm a little puzzled with Dr. Harvey Risch, that it just was a thought in my mind. And this addresses the over-the-counter. Well, he said, because we had a campaign here at America Out Loud in trying to get this OTC, to get President Trump to make that happen. And Dr. Vliet was working with us and amongst many other people around the nation. And by the way, let me not forget to tell you, you want to go read Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet's her op-eds and her editorials on this are nothing short of outstanding must-read information. And just go AmericaOutLoud.com and go right there under bloggers or columnist bloggers, right on the nav bar, you'll see. Just go click down Elizabeth Lee Vliet, MD. And from there, you'll see it's an amazing display of her great pieces on media silence on COVID-19, positive, you know, breaking news on the FDA, tyrants today threaten America's independence, breaking the FDA barriers, a tale of two drugs, money versus medical wisdom. There's all kinds of great information there is what I'm suggesting to you, which you can get right off that side nav bar. And many of our experts, global experts and others who know what they're talking about. And that's where to get that information from. But on the OTC, Dr. Lee, people with heart disease or asthma, it came up within Dr. Risch's conversation, like, are they likely to die? Or the question was asked, or could have I think Mark Levine asked the question, maybe. That's where I jotted this down again on pen and paper here. People with heart disease or asthma, are they likely to die or could have a certain kind of critical reaction to this drug? I think that was the question that was pretty much asked. He said, evidence shows that healthy people with heart disease generally do fine. But like any medication, they should be prescribed from a doctor who can also monitor it. And he said, you really got to get a prescription for this under the right conditions and then have it monitored properly. How does that kind of gets into the face of the OTC? You kind of can't have this over the counter based on what he's saying, that Dr. Harvey Risch is saying. What am I missing with that piece, or am I?
Well, I think there are a lot of other opinions on that. Mm-hmm. If you look at the data, actually, which I analyzed with a pharmacist colleague of mine who is whose career was as a hospital director of pharmacy, a research pharmacist, an academic pharmacist teaching at a medical school, and she also has worked in retail pharmacy. She and I worked on a comparison proposal for OTC that we submitted to Senator Johnson and Mark Meadows and the president on Memorial Day weekend. And if you compare the safety data that the FDA has in its database, and that is worldwide in the medical literature going back to 1982, when we took it back to 1982, the safety data on hydroxychloroquine is actually safer than Tylenol, NSAIDs, you know, Aleve and Advil, and some of the proton pump inhibitors. All three classes of those current over-the-counter medicines have more risk of serious, serious complications or death than what is in the database associated with hydroxychloroquine. So ideally, if we had been able to break through the stonewalling at the FDA and the deliberate suppression and war on hydroxychloroquine, ideally it would have been great to have it available in the pharmacy just like every other medication that's FDA approved and have people's doctors prescribe it.
And that I would imagine at that point there would be a warning label on it that if you've got serious heart problems or other conditions, you need to get to it. I would imagine. Am I right? I think
that's what it's already there, Malcolm. It's been long and doctors do that. They don't even, it's so safe from a cardiac standpoint that rheumatology guidelines prescribing it for the last 40 years for rheumatoid arthritis don't even require a baseline electrocardiogram. It's that safe. This has all been exaggerated warnings.
So Dr. Harvey Risch was even being over cautionary there with that statement, basically.
Yes,
right?
Okay.
All right.
The thing is that we then, there are many doctors across the country, and it's been around, it's been over the counter in countries around the world for decades. Yeah. So it's nothing unusual to consider hydroxychloroquine over the counter. We went to that idea because President Trump could take that step under legally under the Defense Production.
All right. Well, you explained it so well. I mean, right, what you just explained right there. I mean, you just nailed it. For everybody should understand that you just put it right in layman's terms for all of us. I mean, come on, it's safer than X, Y, and Z, which all of us are taking on an everyday basis. And it's just not a risk factor. So, that puts it in perspective for me now. And I just wanted to clear that up with the OTC components of it, that I wasn't missing anything. Let's now talk about, please, the money trail. There's always, you know, like I said on the weekend to folks, Dr. Vleed, always follow the money. And I was told that as a young lad, and maybe there are times in my life I didn't believe that people could be so cheap and sell themselves out, but I guess I should have taken that advice as a young lad. Always follow the money, because I would never sell myself out for the cause of life and people and what have you, but this is what happens. So they say, follow the money. All right, let's talk about the money and the political side of this thing here. So obviously we've just laid out a compelling case right now from all sides of the convalescent plasma, what happened, the risk and the value to life and, you know, the 35% and what that means versus what we've been talking about, HCQ, the hydroxychloroquine and zinc and all of this. And we've laid out all of this, but let's talk about the politics and the money. Why are these people manipulating this information? And some are, and then others are just looking at the wrong studies and information, which they've kind of set it up to fail. This was all set up to fail in their eyes so they could get the media to partner with them to tout this out there, to say to the American people that information. And it, to me, it's like putting a Band-Aid on your, a badly open wound on your leg, and not using HCQ, I'm saying, by using this other drug versus using this. So what is the money behind this? What is the politics behind this that is driving this narrative, Dr. Vleet?
Let's look at some comparison dollars. The combination of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc for a one-week treatment course for COVID probably cost around $30 to $50 for the full treatment with all three elements of the therapy. Remdesivir cost about $3,500 for inpatient treatment, which adds the hospital cost, and it has to be given IV, and it showed less benefit. Convalescent plasma has to be given in the hospital IV. Now, let's move to orders of magnitude, more money potential with the vaccines. Dr. McCullough had some interesting statistics in his editorial that appeared on thehill.com, and this was August 17th. Operation Warp Speed supercharged with $10 billion in federal dollars spent with Big Pharma for vaccine development and commercialization, and the potential financial windfall, he said, has spurred innovations with patents and royalty agreements applied or awarded to both private and government employees. Bingo. There is the money trail. It's the combination of money coming into NIH, CDC, FDA, and those researchers on the patents who get a share in the royalties, along with the big pharmaceutical companies worldwide that all stand to benefit from the billions of dollars of vaccine investment, R&D money that was just infused, plus all of the sales. Now, what's interesting, Malcolm, if you follow the pattern of which countries were denied access to early hydroxychloroquine treatment, it's essentially the big eight. The countries that are wealthy and have the population density and wealth to pay for vaccines. US, Canada, UK, France, Germany, and there are a couple of others. But my point is, the countries that were poorer countries, that where vaccine markets would not be very lucrative, none of them had any restrictions on using all of these other medicines, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, doxycycline, all of them, early. None of them had those restrictions. Only the wealthy countries. Now, Dr. McCullough and several other researchers have brought this point out as well. I'm not the only one who's connected those dots. I think it's important to look at the fact that there are many people in medicine who are having the courage to speak up and talk about the fact that there is another agenda that's operative here that the American public is not being told. Now, President Trump knows that, but he also knows that he's up against a huge, huge coordinated effort between government agencies that stand to gain financially and global pharmaceutical companies that stand to gain financially. Mm-hmm. And all of this is part of it's another reason that President Trump is under such attack, because China stands to lose from the strong stands he's taken. NATO is being held accountable to pay their share of the defense bill that other presidents did not hold them accountable for. President Trump has taken on all of these global interests, now including the big pharmaceutical and vaccine industry.
Okay.
So
all right.
That's partly why there has been such political pushback.
All right. Let me add to it. Let me add to this. You lay it out really well right there. So everybody should have a sense now of the money trail that you point out, Dr. Vliet. But there's one other component, I think, to add to this from everything you just perfectly laid out, and that is the media. So you laid out the money trail and why people are making these decisions that they're making. And as you were just saying, in the billions, it's in the stratosphere of dollars, people. I mean, it's in the stratosphere. And obviously, when you follow the money trail, there is a trade-off between lives saved the fact that a lot of people get wealthy from this, as well as, you know, the whole everything about it, the vaccine thing. And money is certainly the root of all this evil. But on the other side of it's the media, Dr. Vliet, because the media, in a perfect world, or even in a half perfect world, even if everything was just fair and the equality of the conversation, they would have the information out there, and at least good journalists would be following this. It wouldn't be just someone like me who passionately cares, who wants to get the truth out, but we would have major journalists and major news publications and others who in the major sources who would be poking holes in this whole thing and would have had HCQ out in the front. And unfortunately, there was and I say unfortunately, listen to how bad this sounds now, Dr. Vliet, and how terribly sarcastic it may sound, actually. When I say unfortunately, there was a conservative in the White House. There was a Republican conservative in the White House, which the media, being a socialist Marxist group of people as they are, and that's not a stretch, people. But sadly, they were in the face against the real evidence and decided not to follow it up and ask the tough questions and be the journalist they're supposed to be. Had there been, I would suggest to you, a liberal socialist in the White House, I would imagine the narrative would be entirely different. I would imagine we probably would not have lost. They tout well over 180,000 lives. So they will, you know, and that's been tainted as well because they keep stacking the numbers and putting people, tagging everything to COVID. Even if they have a hanged toenail, it gets tagged to COVID. And so my point is, you see, the point is with the whole media spectacle, I think that they are even, I would suggest to you, Dr. Lee, these people are even much more empowered and impassioned, even more than money for these people, because these people, I'm going to tell you right now, in my opinion, they are the root of evil. And because this is a Marxist socialist agenda. And to me, this is the people who could have made the difference in this fight. They could have made the difference with the FDA. They could have made the difference with all this other stuff that's going on and all the funny business. I mean, they could have made the difference. And expose the money trail and expose the greed and the evil, but they chose not to. And they chose not to because their agenda is a different agenda than what this conservative president is in the White House. I'll give you the last word.
I think that's true. I think the founders of the United States of America envisioned the free press as the watchdog over government. We currently see a 180-degree change, and we see the press has become the lapdog of the Democrat Party, which is an agenda to maintain money, power, and control over the American people. President Trump's agenda from the very beginning of his campaign and in his inauguration speech, he said, "My goal is to return power to the people." And that is an agenda that clearly the Democrats, the global elites in the Republican Party, the mainstream media do not want to happen. They want control and they are going to all lengths to get it. The American lives that have been lost in the COVID pandemic are collateral damage to
collateral
them.
That's a hell of a way to say it, collateral damage. Here you're listening to the voice there, Dr. Elizabeth Leavelt, and collateral damage. Hear her put that out there. You talk about truth right now. Wow, what a program, what a last hour to spend with all of you out there. I mean, listen, I am so grateful. I mean, incredibly grateful to Dr. Elizabeth Leavelt for everything, for her passion and her enlightenment, her experience, her knowledge, her truth, all of it. And I mean, she has really, truly touched my life. I hope she's touched yours out there as well. And I sincerely mean every bit of that. This was probably the most powerful hour I think you would hear on this topic or subject, that certainly that I've done to date, and probably many others as well. I think we covered some ground here and exposed what you should know and what has been exposed here. And now it is again always up to we the people to force a change and bring the power back in this election cycle, in this season, and do the right thing. And I'm counting on you out there to help me do that, please. Thank you again for being on the mission here, my fellow Americans. It's time to get involved and get loud.